Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10th, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
All right, we're going to rock. We're going to switch gears here in hour number four. We're going to talk a little NFL draft. Chris Trapasso, of course, NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. Chris, did I say it right? Trapasso, is that correct?
Yeah, Trapasso. I get a lot of Trapassos, but I mean, I'm talking about football. The word pass is in my last name, so I figure that can be an easy way to remember it for the future. But you did get it right, so thank you.
All right, there you go. I thought of El Paso, so I just said I'm going Chris El Paso Trapasso. So, you know, I figured I'd go in that direction, so we did it. All right. So, Chris, let me ask you something. Where do you stand on the Tua thing? Because obviously this show originates in South Florida. And as you know, that is the hot button topic for all Dolph fans out there. Personally, for me, I'm kind of off his bandwagon because I think he's a sack of injuries, even though I love him as a passer. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I still think that he's the front runner. I mean, are the Dolphins right now, a week out from the combine, still technically considering all the top quarterbacks? Probably. But I think knowing that Joe Burrow is not going to be there when they pick, whether they move up or not and stay at five, I still think Tagovailoa is like the favorite to be the pick, the first pick for the Dolphins of their first three selections inside the first round. But I am similarly feeling the way that you are about him is that I love him as a passer. I love his polish, accuracy, getting through his reads. But we're kind of seeing this trend happen in the NFL where quarterbacks need to be able to improvise outside the pocket when things break down and still make plays with their athleticism, whether it be scrambling or just throwing on the run. He did that a little bit in college, but I don't know if he is that type of athlete to do that on a consistent basis in the NFL. Then you bring in the hip, you bring in the ankles of the past that he's had, the injuries. And that's why I'm not as crazy high on him, calling him the next Drew Brees like a lot of other analysts are. But having said all that, if the Dolphins picked him at five or traded a second or a third rounder to move up to get him, I would totally understand it. That's kind of the guy they've been aiming for during this multiple-year rebuild.
Yeah, I'm not with you on that one. I would not understand it. I would not agree with it whatsoever because – injury-prone players are injury-prone players, man. I killed Jimmy Johnson. I fried his ass on radio when he drafted Yetiel Green. And Yetiel Green was a sack of injuries in college, and he continued. And I was a big fan and still am of Devontae Parker, but he had his injuries in Louisville. And they continued here in Miami, and it took 5 years for him to finally have one healthy season. And obviously, he balled out last year, and let's hope he can stay healthy, but it took you 5 years. And that's what these injury-prone players usually stay injury-prone. They rarely are all of a sudden they're constantly breaking down, and then they're going to go to the NFL and not break down anymore. That's what terrifies me about the kid. It's not about football. It's all about health, right?
Yeah, and I think to your point, although I'm not as big on injury-prone players as you are, I think sometimes they can be freak injuries, but I totally understand it because with Tagovailoa, he has multiple years of different injuries, and this hip injury is, I'm not going to say unprecedented, but it's a pretty rare injury that you would think would sap some of his athleticism. But what's interesting about it is, like we said, on the football field as a passer, he's outstanding. He's one of the best prospects that we've seen in the last decade. But if he goes to a team like the Dolphins that is still rebuilding and still needs to add a lot of pieces, especially on its offensive line, if it can't really protect him as a rookie, he's probably going to take more hits. And that's where the injury proneness, if you really believe in that, that could really kind of rear its ugly head. So from your perspective, not really buying in with that choice at number five overall, that's why I could understand it more so than if you were saying, oh, he's going to a team with a great offensive line, a group of awesome receivers, he's not going to get touched. I think he will, and he'll have to improvise. And like I said, unlike Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, Tagovailoa can't really extend plays as well as those two can.
No, and here's, and Chris, I talked about this on the show yesterday. There's a bigger factor on the Tua thing. If you're a Dolphins fan, you have to look at it this way also. You talked about his rookie year. He's probably not going to play much in his rookie year. So technically, you draft this kid now. Fitzpatrick will probably play 12 to 14 games. Maybe you feel he's healthy enough by the end of the year that you're now a calendar year removed from that injury that you can play him in the last couple games, which, by the way, will give you no feel whether he's good or bad or going to be great or durable or whatever. Then you've got to wait an entire offseason, go through another draft that you will not take another quarterback, and then you're going to play him in the 2021 season. That's when you're really going to find out about Tua. So it's going to be 3 years later that you'll have an opportunity to figure out what he is and if you want to get a quarterback for him instead. That's why I've said from day one, you got 14 picks. If you take Tua early, then go and take Anthony Gordon. Go take Nate Stanley. Go take the Davidson kid from Princeton that I loved at the East-West Shrine Game. Go get me another project quarterback. Back yourself up with that like Jimmy did with Troy Aikman, that he took Steve Walsh, like Shanahan did when he took Cousins because the owner loved RG3. That's what I think you should do if you're the Dolphins. So two-part. One, worrying about Tua, that if you draft him, you really won't know about him for two more years. And then the other side is, if you do draft him, do you protect yourself and take a second quarterback? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, why I would be okay with the Dolphins having to wait until, like you laid out, until 2021 for Tagovailoa. This is probably the biggest rebuilding process that we've seen, the most large-scale rebuilding process in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years in the NFL. So I think Chris Greer, the front office there, even Brian Flores going, which would then be his third year, I think they would be okay with that. No, they don't want to continue to lose games, and we saw the team play very hard down the stretch and win some games. So I would be okay with the Dolphins having to wait until 2021 or 2022 to really know what they have with Tua. I do like your idea of picking a developmental guy because it turned out well for a lot of those teams that you mentioned, that whether it be in training camp and preseason, if Tua happens to get injured again, you're not like, oh crap, what do? We can't go to Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not our long-term guy. So I think it's not a great quarterback class in terms of back-end depth, and it's usually not. There's not 10 franchise quarterbacks in every class, but someone like Anthony Gordon from Washington State that gets the ball out quickly, very accurate, fifth, sixth, or seventh round, they have the ammo, they have the 14 picks that they could use one of those on a developmental guy just to continue to build that quarterback room, whether they pick Tua or not.
I'm with you there. All right, so Herbert, what are you hearing, Chris? And we're talking with Chris Trapasso, by the way, from CBS Sports, NFL draft analyst. Herbert, we keep hearing maturity, 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 not about physicality. You tell me, what have you been able to unearth?
Well, I think that the media and even draft analysts like myself are further down on Justin Herbert than the NFL is. I think those questions kind of started because he's kind of quiet and he's not a big rah-rah guy. I think the NFL actually really likes Justin Herbert, and I think that's part of the reason why this report came out this week that the Dolphins aren't just totally all in on Tua, and Justin Herbert is someone that will be considered as potentially the second quarterback off the board. He's bigger than Tua. He has way more experience than Tua. He can make a handful of throws that Tua Tagovailoa, because of the lack of arm strength, simply cannot make. I think there were certainly more games where you're kind of scratching your head watching Justin Herbert and saying, why isn't he taking over this game? But there were also games dating back all the way to his sophomore year, when he was the full-time starter in 2017, that he looked like a number one overall pick type of player. He can definitely improvise. He's great throwing on the run. So I think after the combine, after interviews, unless he completely bombs them, which I don't think he will, he was a 4.0 guy at Oregon, I think we'll start to hear some of the media, and hopefully I'll be able to get something down in Indianapolis at the combine. We'll start to come around talking to NFL staffers saying, look, I don't know where this whole narrative that he's, you know, Marcus Mariota 2.0. He's not a leader. He won the Senior Bowl MVP. I think after the combine, people will start to come around on the fact that this is an athletic, experienced passer that won a lot in college, can make all the throws. You have to fine tune some of the accuracy, but I think Justin Herbert is going to go a lot higher than a lot of people think right now.
Yeah, the talent is intoxicating, right, Chris? That's really really what it's all about. You know, that's why we kind of look at that. Now, when we talk about Burrow's going to go number one, and we'll see, obviously, with the whole Cincinnati thing, and then everybody looks at Chase at number two, who's your third overall pick in the draft?
Well, if the Detroit Lions stay at number three overall, I think Jeffrey Okuda, Chase Young's teammate at Ohio State, the cornerback, would make a lot of sense. The Lions secondary is a mess. Matt Patricia is a defensive guy. He saw in New England what can come of and the luxuries that you get from having a true lockdown man-to-man cornerback, and that's what Okuda is. He's over 6 foot. He has feet like a slot cornerback, great ball skills. He's like the consensus number one cornerback. I do think, though, that the Lions, because they may not be locked into him, and yes, cornerback's valuable, but I think that's also a team and not that far away from where the Dolphins are. I mean, take away Matthew Stafford from that team, we saw that they were obviously one of the worst teams in the NFL. They want to build for the future because they know Matthew Stafford's not going to be their quarterback 4, 5, 6 years from now. They will be the team that will be getting a lot of calls if a team wants to jump the Miami Dolphins, or if the Dolphins feel, hey, let's use one of our extra 14 picks or extra 13 picks and trade up to get Tua Tagovailoa. But if I had to just pick a prospect, Jeffrey Okuda, the fit, the value, the team need would make a lot of sense for the Detroit Lions at number three overall.
All right, and we're talking with Chris Trapasso, of course, from CBS Sports. All right, let me ask you a question that I know my producer is going to get all excited about. If Miami, let's say, doesn't go quarterback at five, okay, because they're not convinced with Herbert, Tua's injury prone, whatever, and Burrow's off the board, who's the number five pick if it isn't a quarterback? Is it Tristan Wirfs from Iowa? Is it Isaiah Simmons from Clemson because he fits what Miami does? Is it Jedrick Willis from Alabama? These are kind of positional needs, big-time needs for Miami. Tell me, who's the guy in your eyes that if they don't take a quarterback at five, who's the ideal pick for the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would go with Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. He's one of the youngest players in the draft. We saw him in 2018 as a sophomore. Looked like he was a redshirt senior in terms of the ability to just manhandle defensive linemen. He played right tackle, so some people thought, oh, maybe he's going to be a guard, doesn't have the athleticism, was forced to the left side due to injury at Iowa this season to one of his teammates, and just completely locked down edge rushers on the left side. So he has experience at left and right tackle. He's 21 years old. He has that NFL caliber strength that a lot of offensive linemen don't have when they initially get into the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he's a smooth athlete. He's a wide body guy. You see the power, you think, all right, he's going to be kind of slow moving. He's really not. And in terms of positional value, you would rank quarterback number one, and then edge rusher and offensive tackle are right there at number two and number three. And given his age, you could say we could pick this guy at number five, would maybe be kind of a Jake Long situation where you have this guy for 10, 12, 15 years. Is he going to be the guy that's going to take you to the Super Bowl? No, that'll be a quarterback. But I could see Tristan Wirfs making a lot of sense for the Dolphins because whenever you insert a quarterback into this lineup, the offensive line needs to be a lot better. And I think Tristan Wirfs, in a few years, we'll be talking about him as one of the best young tackles in the league.
So Wirfs is a tonsil without a bong mask, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. And they have similar body types, similar athleticism. And yeah, if you take away what happened on draft night in 2016, I think you have a similar type of prospect in Tristan Wirfs. And Laremy Tunsil is about to get a lot of money from the Houston Texans.
Good stuff as always. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports, NFL draft analyst, joining us. Chris, I always go to the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine every year, and you know I'm a draft nut myself, been doing it for the last 20-plus years, so I love talking about this stuff, and I always love talking about some of the secondary guys. So we've talked about the big quarterbacks, and for me, out of the project guys that I like Jordan Love. I like Anthony Gordon. I like Nate Stanley out of Iowa, and I like Kevin Davidson out of Princeton. These are all guys that have holes in their game, but I would take a chance on them at one point in the draft because I think there might be something there that you can work with. So I'm wondering, out of the big three, we know Burrow, Tua, and Herbert are the guys. Who's the other guy or two that really intrigues you that you say, you know, I know there's a hole or two in his game, but damn, man, he's got enough to be a quarterback at this level. Maybe he breaks through. Who is it?
Yeah, I have to say Jordan Love, and you're kind of calling him a sleeper. I think he still is to a lot of people that are just kind of getting into the draft.
I think he's a project, not a sleeper. Yeah, I think he's a project his way because of the accuracy and some of the decision-making that he's made at Utah. That's the Utah State. That's why I say he's a little bit of a project because you got to get him to be a little bit more disciplined in some of the decisions that he made.
Yeah,
he
definitely. Makes. But I think he could be a quarterback that ultimately lands in the back end of the first round, maybe in the second round, because of the athleticism. I agree with all your points that his decision-making isn't always the best, and the accuracy can be really, really good, and then there can be a quarter or an entire half where he can't hit the broadside of a barn. and he's a little bit antsy inside the pocket, but going back to what I said about Tua Tagovailoa, you don't like that he's a little bit robotic, that he can move around a little bit, but he's not going to do it in the pros. Jordan Love can really improvise, and he can make, I'm not going to call him Patrick Mahomes, but a similar type of throws, his style similar, has a really strong, effortless arm that he can just flick the football down the field. He's the guy that I think kind of fits. Maybe if he was coming into the league 5 or 10 years ago, offensive coordinators would say, listen, you can't stay in the pocket. You always want to run out and try to make street ball plays. They wouldn't like it. But with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen, there's so many quarterbacks today that are making plays off script that defenses just simply cannot cover because it's impossible to predict what's going to happen, you know, when you're having a quarterback scrambling. I think Jordan Love provides that kind of style. And if you want more inside the pocket, I mentioned him earlier. I think Anthony Gordon, after seeing what Gardner Minshew did coming from Washington State without a big arm,
right.
I think Anthony Gordon can be that similar point guard from the shotgun, short to intermediate routes, very accurate, knows where to go with the football.
Yeah, he doesn't have a great arm, but he has a good enough arm, Gordon, and he's a decent athlete too, on top of all of that. You're right about it. So Gordon's the other guy. Do you like it? And any of the other two that I like, Nate Stanley as a project, and I got to tell you, man, I didn't know anything about Kevin Davidson out of Princeton. But watching him all week with James Morgan from FIU, I thought both guys actually were kind of interesting. But Davidson, man, he's got some mustard on the football, dude. He's got a gun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the first thing. I need to watch a little bit more film leading into the combine of him. It's not the easiest to find coming from Princeton. But I think what I have seen, the arm strength really pops. And I think that's what's going to get him on the draft radar. I was not at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I was at the Senior Bowl, but I was hearing a lot about Davidson that he has an NFL caliber arm, a lot of experience, and he's really aggressive with the football too. And I think when you pair a strong arm with an aggressive mentality, there's some coordinators that like that don't want their quarterbacks to just be checking down the football and try to have to coach them into being more aggressive. And with Nate Stanley, he's kind of a throwback to me. Inside the pocket, not very mobile, but a lot of those Iowa players are very well coached by Kirk Ferentz. And I think that will ultimately help him, that he's been a multi-year starter, has a good arm, has the size. The accuracy kind of concerns me a little bit, but I think backup down the road could make sense, and a team will ultimately pick him on the back portion of the third day of the draft.
And Chris, I loved your pick of Wirfs at number 5. I think it made all the sense in the world. It's a genius pick on your part. But let's say this is not the greatest pass rushing draft for ends in this one. So if you can't get them at 5, What's at 18 and 25 that Miami picks? There are other two picks in the first round. Is there a pass rusher you do like that might be in that area of one of those two picks?
Yeah, I think LSU's Ke'Lavon Chaisson would be – I don't know where he would land, if he's going to be more a pick 18 guy or a pick 26 guy, in that I think the combine is going to be huge for him. And everyone was watching LSU's offense this year, rightfully so, with you know, just the efficiency that they had. But on defense, Ke'Lavon Chaisson, a little bit smaller, but when you watch edge rushers, you got to see them being able to win in multiple ways. And he's got an elite first step. He can win with speed and bend around the edge. And he uses his hands really well. He converts speed to power, really gets up and underneath blockers, has a nice arsenal of pass rushing moves. I kind of think he might go later in the draft, could be more pick number 26 candidate.
That's because, what I think too.
Yeah. Because he's not that three down player. But if we're looking ahead toward the future of the NFL and really where we are today, it's a passing league. And even if you tell me that Ke'Lavon Chaisson's not going to be able to play often on first down and in kind of those traditional running situations, but he's going to get after the passer on second and third down, I'll take that on a team like the Dolphins that really, really needs pass rushing help. Actually, pretty much every team could ultimately use kind of a pass rushing specialist like him. And then at pick 18, I think A.J. Epenesa from Iowa would make a lot of sense because he can play defensive tackle. He can play end. He's probably going to be one of the bigger, bulkier defensive ends at the combine. He was a part-time player 2 years ago, and then this year is a full-time guy. Really showed off better pass rushing moves, has plenty of power. He and Tristan Wirfs must have just really gone at it during practice at Iowa. I think he could be someone that Brian Flores would ultimately really like to use in different spots on the defensive line, and that would be another pick, like Wirfs, an edge rusher, that you're not only getting a good player, but you're getting a high-value position in the first round. That's what the Dolphins have to do. They can't pick a running back or a box safety. No. They have to go with the positions that are the most valuable. Because if you're Chris Greer, you don't want to have another draft where you're picking as high as you are. You're probably not going to have three first rounders ever again. So make sure you're addressing not only, you know, the best player available, like every GM says, but the positions that are the most valuable, edge rusher, offensive tackle, maybe cornerback. That's what I think the Dolphins need to do, especially early in this draft.
Chris, what are you guys working on CBS for the draft so our listeners can go check you out, my friend?
Well, leading into the combine, we're just running through our collective rankings heading into the combine of all positions. I did defensive line, wide receivers, and offensive line this week, so go check that out. Combine preview coming on Friday, and then pretty much everyone covering the NFL from CBSSports.com will be in Indianapolis next week, including myself. So it's a really, really fun week. It's the NFL ultimate convention, and it's really fun to kind of check out these numbers and see how they compare to what other prospects have done in the past.
Dress warm and be safe in your travels, my friend. Thank you for taking some time.
All right, anytime. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. Chris Trapasso, man, from CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso, T-R-A-P-A-S-S-O. We thank Chris for joining us here on the program. I like it. Good stuff, man. Good draft talk there, right? We're going to be joined now right after this quick break. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Mike Triplett. We had some breaking news with Drew Brees. Saying that he's coming back to the NFL and coming back to the Saints for the 2020 season. So Mike had to drop our interview earlier in the day and then had to reschedule later in the day so he can get his Drew Brees story in. But I'm intrigued because I want to hear about Teddy Bridgewater. I want to hear about Taysom Hill. I want to hear what his thoughts are on all of that. So Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Saints, he's going to join us when we come back on the other side. We'll take a quick break here. If you want to get in, you got any questions, any comments, send them in on the YouTube chat board. Remember to give us a thumbs up when you're watching the show and share the link, the YouTube link. Share it with your friends on a text, on Twitter, on Facebook. Spread the word Real sports talk. You get it right here every single day. We rock you for 4 hours every day and five on Fridays. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, joins us next.
The world's biggest band is coming twice. Metallica. Headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. The weekend of May 8th through the 10th. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now. The one, the only, Metallica. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to accidentlawfirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to accidentlawfirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's accidentlawfirm.com.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Act now. Home values are ticking up. Don't put off making a move any longer. Call Michael Codsey now at Choice Mortgage Bank, 561-441-2730, while mortgage interest rates are still at historical lows. Call now to get pre-approved and buy your dream home. If you're currently paying over $800 a month for rent, call 561-441-2730 now before interest rates go up. Down payments as low as 3.5%. Veterans may qualify for no money down. If you own a home but you're upside down, Michael Codsey can help. If you're being denied by your bank or your loan process is taking too long, call 561-441-2730. Act now while fixed rates are still under 3.5%. Offices in Boca and Boynton Beach. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 122081.
Metallica, headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now.